One of Detroit's many great challenges could also turn out to be a great opportunity to figure out how to imagine big cities that are more livable, more walkable, and more sustainable. The challenge, all those large parcels of empty land, abandoned, unpaved, unloved, not generating much of anything, especially not revenue. But my next guest sees those parcels as something that could hold the key to a better American city. Joshua Newell is an assistant professor at the University of Michigan's School of Natural Resources. Joshua, you and your team are looking for ways to turn this urban wasteland into productive green spaces. Is this goal truly reachable?
I hope so. I know there's a lot of folks working on this issue, and I think there's a lot more hopefulness than there has been in the past with respect to Detroit. So I'm really positive, and I think that we're gaining a lot of momentum in terms of kind of recreating and redeveloping Detroit so that it's once again a great American city.
What's the basis for this kind of new sense of hopefulness, do you think?
Well, I think there have been a lot of changes politically in Detroit. I think that there's a lot more investment moving into Detroit. I think there's a growing awareness nationally that there's a lot of opportunity and a lot of land in Detroit that could be repurposed for more productive, creative, and sustainable uses.
You and your team have some research efforts that are ongoing in Detroit, and I was real interested in the project that has you studying and mapping the way people walk through unpaved, abandoned lots. So what do you learn from the pedestrians that you think could help policymakers and planners?
Yeah, it turns out there's actually thousands of miles of these urban footpaths that crisscross the city. And you're able to see them through Google Earth and other technologies because they're on vacant land, and so it's permeable surface. So it's unlike concrete where you can't see them. So it's clear that people are using these footpaths for a variety of purposes, to go to school, to go to the store, from home to work in some cases. And so we feel that this is a really important piece of the urban fabric, and it enhances mobility. If these footpaths are preserved, so we're actually mapping them using Google Earth, and we're using a number of social science methods to capture more fully how people are actually using these footpaths. But most of them are on so-called vacant land, so they're actually this so-called vacant land is actually being used. And so as Detroit redevelops, as planning agencies figure out what to do with a lot of this land, we think that preserving some of the most important footpaths is a really important part of the new Detroit.
So basically, people are having their way with a layout that was planned a century or so ago. And here it is. It's 2014. Here's how we want to use the land. And so you're trying to almost catch up the design with the use?
Yeah. Most cities are often designed for the automobile. And in some sense, it's a failure of traditional engineering. But these footpaths clearly are a more efficient way to get from point A to point B in many cases.
And would the idea be that as these vacant, grassy lots get used in some way, that you would try to also figure out how pedestrians are using that and work around that and accommodate them?
Yeah, and to formalize some of them actually as active footpaths, sort of like we have greenways in Detroit now. We think the same could happen with footpaths. And then you could actually repurpose some of these so-called vacant spaces where you could have footpaths and urban gardens and play spaces. So you're actually formalizing, creating them, legitimizing them, if you will, so that they do enhance mobility and walkability in our great city.
I'm speaking with University of Michigan Professor Joshua Newell with the School of Natural Resources, and he and his team are looking for ways to turn urban wasteland into productive green spaces. And Joshua, another study that you're really doing is trying to figure out what you can do with these vacant parcels of land. Talk to us about what you're examining and what you're learning.
Well, we're looking at all sorts of ways to transform this vacant land, one of which is, of course, these footpaths. The other is urban agriculture. So we're using Google Earth to map urban gardens in an area of Detroit, the Lower East Side specifically. And we've documented a large number of urban gardens, and we're trying to get a better sense of what types of food people are growing, what is the spatial extent of these gardens. It turns out that most of these gardens, in fact, are on vacant land. So there actually are, a lot of this land is already being used. We're also looking at green infrastructure as a way to use this vacant land. So we have a lot of stormwater issues in Detroit. Mm-hmm. And so green infrastructure is a way to capture some of this stormwater, especially during heavy rains. And that actually green infrastructure can be integrated with other forms of land use, such as urban agriculture. And we hope footpaths as well.
So it certainly seems like the technology has gotten you to a point where you could not have been 10 years ago, 15 years ago. How would you have ever been able to cover that 160 square miles some of the city of Detroit? But with Google Earth, that really is a powerful tool for you and your researchers.
It sure is indeed. It's incredibly powerful. It would take years to do what we're doing in a matter of 6 months.
Now, do you expect that what you're going to learn in Detroit will be applicable to major American cities?
Certainly in parts of the post-industrial Midwest, mm-hmm. absolutely. Obviously in places like Los Angeles where it's almost entirely impervious surface, right. you're not going to be able to see that many footpaths, although there are some if you look in Google Earth. But we see this as an innovative use of a technology and also a very interesting aspect of human use of the built environment that has gone unnoticed so far. We've really found very little research on footpaths.
Huh.
In landscape architecture, they also call them desire lines.
Do you think it is truly possible that we as a society, we as people, are willing to change the way that we've lived in cities for centuries? Because it sounds like that's where things are moving or need to move. But are we collectively willing to make that change?
I hope so. As we're all becoming more and more aware of the importance of sustainability, I think that we can change and that many of us are trying to. More than half the world lives in cities now, so cities are really a leverage point for change. And I think that there's growing awareness that for global sustainability, we have to transform our cities, and that includes the way we walk through our cities.
And if we don't get our collective act together when it comes to reimagining how we're going to live in cities, what do you fear?
Well, I work on cities because I think they really do hold a key to global sustainability. And I fear without a large-scale transformation, which is potential in Detroit, that we really face some very steep challenges with respect to climate change, with respect to biodiversity loss, with respect to the health of our forests. We really are major consumers as urban dwellers, and therefore we owe it to the planet to rethink how we obtain our food, how we get from home to school, and I think we have a duty to do so.
Joshua Newell is an assistant professor at the University of Michigan School of Natural Resources. He and his team are currently engaged in mapping footpaths through the uncut, grassy, unused lots of Detroit and learning a lot. It feels like you're, in a sense, kind of pioneers. As I said, the circle has kind of come around again, and now you can hopefully set a new course.
Thank you.